back in 2000, the National Park Service was part of a group of state and federal agencies that ended up in a court-mediated settlement on a way to manage bison in and around Yellowstone National Park. And this all germinated from that court-mediated decision and the subsequent environmental impact statement.
When we talk about remote vaccination, what does that mean? Remote, in this case, means what?
What we studied was the possibility of injecting wild bison at a distance with some kind of technology, rather than trying to provide a brucellosis vaccine by herding up animals and physically injecting them with a syringe.
And why? Does that lower stress on them? Was that the idea?
Our intent, whenever possible, is to treat wild animals as wild animals. So we explored the idea and the existing technology of providing this vaccine to bison with as minimal an impact on the animals as we could.
And I'm assuming that there's no difference in the vaccination itself, just a different delivery method,
I guess. Is a different delivery mechanism. And so the technology that we studied was the idea of putting the vaccine in what's called a biobullet, a biodegradable projectile that could be discharged to reach the animal at a distance using essentially an air rifle.
And the preferred alternative, the decision that was announced today, is a no-action alternative. It seems like the Park Service wasn't that interested in the remote vaccination idea. And obvious question, how come?
When we looked at the existing vaccine and the existing technology and the time and money it would take to have a very small reduction in the prevalence of brucellosis in bison using current mechanisms or anything we see in the short-term future, we just didn't think it was an appropriate action to take.
The investment of time and money, how much additional time would it take? How much money would it take?
You know, we were looking at millions of taxpayer dollars and a 30-year implementation program, and in doing so, we didn't believe that that would show much of a difference in the seroprevalence of bison. And frankly, we didn't see how it would contribute to our conservation of wild bison.
A 30-year implementation, why so long?
Because it would take our study suggests that it would take a lot of time and repeated treatments in order to have any impact. And even at that point, what we determined was it just wouldn't be significant. You know, we promised under the IBMP that we would study this issue, and this is not to say that we're not going to address the issue of brucellosis or the issue that surrounds bison, elk, and cattle. You know, the bottom line is we have, working with our partners, been very effective. We have completely kept wild bison from infecting area livestock with brucellosis. We do some hand syringe injection when the opportunity presents itself at our Stevens Creek facility. And again, our no action alternative is going to suggest that we're going to continue to do that when the opportunity presents itself. And then frankly, we're going to continue to work with our partners to look at technological advances to see other ways that we might be able to address this issue in the future.
Other potential ways, including what?
We don't know yet. I mean, the truth is, we studied the technology and the vaccine available, the implementation plan that would result in some small reduction of prevalence we didn't feel was worth the time or the money, but that doesn't mean we aren't going to continue to investigate other opportunities.
And you say the existing hand syringe method will be used when the opportunity presents itself, and that's typically when?
If we have bison leave in significant numbers and find ourselves in a position where we would haze and capture animals, there are some opportunities there to do some selective vaccination of bison with the RB51 vaccine.
Why are we talking just about bison and not vaccination of elk at the same time?
Our charge and our task under the IBMP is to work with our partners to address bison and brucellosis and livestock protection. Remember, our ongoing goal is to protect and conserve the wild bison population and to address the issue of the potential of transmission of brucellosis from wild bison to area livestock. That's not to say that the issue surrounding elk isn't important. That is not what we were specifically charged with trying to address.
Last question, and I guess that's dealing with the efficacy of this vaccine. Just how effective is it?
You know, this vaccine is fairly effective in cattle. It is less effective in bison. And, you know, there are no plans at this point, to my understanding, to develop a new vaccine.
And that goes back perhaps to the technological advances that you talked about earlier.
Right. You know, like I said, we studied what exists and what we expect to exist in the future, and we did not see that this was a wise investment of our time and the taxpayers' money for a very small reduction in seroprevalence in bison over a very long period of time.
Okay, so Superintendent Wenk now has this preferred alternative. Where does he go with it now?
Well, at this point, the superintendent is going to continue to review this material. At some point in the coming weeks, the superintendent will make a recommendation to the regional director of the National Park Service. And ultimately, the regional director will issue a record of decision based on that recommendation and her review of the situation. We'd expect that decision to come either late in the winter or early in the spring.
Yellowstone National Park spokesman Al Nash, thank you so much.
You're welcome.